I'm Deva Flowers.
And I'm Chief Bob Vasquez.
Welcome to Creating Leaders of Character.
Our purpose in creating this podcast is to help you empower yourself as a leader.
Specifically, as a leader of character.
Deva and I come from two very different times. You might consider me an old school kind of leader.
And I'm what might be considered an emerging leader.
As different as our perspectives may be, we both agree that leading with character is important these days. Actually, it's always been important. Now, it may even be critical.
Throughout this podcast, we'll share our perspectives, not to convince you to think like either of us, but to help you develop your own perspectives and apply them to make you a better leader.
A leader of character. This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight. Okay, I'm still upset about last week
when you told me
the stuff that that Jacob does, and it's his fault. It's not his fault. We're guys, okay?
Not always his fault, but maybe. Anyways, if you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about, we had our first conflict, Chief and I.
Yeah. So well, it's probably not our first. The one that, in my case, is the first that I remember. But I'm old, so anyway, I hope you had a good week. And one of the things that I mentioned, Deva, was conflict resolution revolution. It's, and here's what I'm thinking, and I think you're going to agree, it would be a revolution or revolutionary thing to not have conflict. To resolve our conflicts, because we don't, I hate that. That's not a good word. I don't like what I see on social media anywhere with everything is a conflict, and everything is a race thing. Everything is a gender thing. Everything is whatever it is, which, why can't we get along? Can't we resolve? That would be revolutionary, to resolve our conflicts without having to do some of the crap that we do go through. What's the term that people use? Tough conversations, right? That's everybody talks about having tough conversations. Well, I think many of those tough conversations could be resolved by a different perspective, a different purpose. Because the purpose a lot of times in those conversations is to let me tell you what I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what about, let me tell me what you think. Let me be open enough. And there's another term, authentic. No, that's not the word. Let me be open enough to seek to understand how you think. And then I'll tell you, I studied with Dr. Stephen Covey, begin with the end in mind, seek first to understand, then to be understood. And I think that's revolutionary. Let me listen to you for a while and try to understand what you say and how you feel, and then I'll tell you how I feel. And maybe when you tell me how you feel, I won't feel like I feel anymore, or I will understand, wow, both of us, we're both upset about the same thing. We're both lonely. We're both upset at that or whatever. I don't know. Does that make a little bit of sense? Maybe if we turn it around, that would be revolutionary, to have a different purpose in mind. It's not about I'm going to beat you. It's about how are we going to resolve this, because I care about you, and I, especially in your case, I love you. I want to resolve this. I don't want to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And the author that I mentioned last time does most of his work with populations of maybe low income that have racial disparity. So for instance, he told a story about a principal who the student body had a bunch of complaints about. They called him racist, and they said that he was disrespecting the student body. And whenever the students were asked, the author went to them and said, well, what is it specifically that the principal is doing that makes you upset? And they said, well, he doesn't let us do what we need to do or what we want to do with our hair. And he calls us you people instead of calling us, just a regular student. And to the average listener, that would definitely seem like, that could be perceived as racist in a few different ways. And so at the end of it, they went to the principal and the student said, like, we want you to do this. And he was like, well, all students have to wear their hair a certain way or whatever, and had a different opinion. So whenever they actually told them, like I mentioned last time, you know, we have a need for inclusivity and we have a need to be seen as equals. And specifically what we would like to do to fix that is put a member of the student body on the panel for dress code, on a committee for dress code. And so instead of what you were talking about when you see on social media about like, you people don't know what you're talking about, or, you know, you people are horrible, and like all these kind of, I think, fluffy words, I think it's really hard for us to get to the center of not only what we need and figuring that out, but what it is we're asking for specifically. And I think that finding out what you need is one of the hardest and most important things. If you don't mind, I have another just quick story that I think was really beneficial from this book, or helpful. And again, it's called Nonviolent Communication, but it is about a man who came in for therapy to the author and said, I'm depressed. And he said, I don't know how to fix it. And he said, well, what is it what are you needing? And he said, I just want people to love me. And then he said, well, what specifically could I or other people do in order to show you that we love you or provide you with the love that you need? And he said, well, that's a difficult question. You know, I don't know what I just, and then, so he thought about it a little bit more, and this was really powerful to me, but he said, how can you, if you don't know what it is that you want or what it is that you need, how can you expect other people to fulfill your needs? And he said, well, it's embarrassing. I've thought about it a little bit, and it's kind of embarrassing what I want. And he said, that's okay. Our wants and needs are often embarrassing. And he said, well, I want people to anticipate my needs and then fulfill them without me asking. Wow. You know? Yeah. And but the cool thing that the author told him is, well, do you think that's reasonable? He's like, no, I guess that's not really reasonable. So I shouldn't really be sad or depressed. People do love me. They're not fulfilling that need because I've realized it's unreasonable and I'm no longer sad. So something about social media, just to kind of wrap up my spiel here, is I think that we misinterpret, we assert boldly that someone is racist or someone is this or that because of something that may have hurt our feelings, but we're unable to express what it is they should have done different a lot of the time.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, I like that. I like that. And it, we've developed into a reactive society instead of a responsive society. And those are Dr. Covey's terms. If we're looking for something bad, you know this, Dave, as young as you are, I think all of you know this. I'll say you guys, you all know this. We all know this. And it's a choice what we do, but we can be looking for something bad and we will find it.
Yeah.
You know, you will. And it's I don't know that it's so, but it seems like it's harder to find something good, which is really not true, because I try to look for something good in everyone, whatever it is, you know, and sometimes it is difficult, and mainly because it's ignorance. I don't know what that reaction, what that the behavior actually means. That's probably it. If I understood it better, maybe I'd be, you know, it'd be a little bit easier for me to understand, but that's my own fault. But I can choose to be reactive, or I can choose to be responsive. And to be reactive, I think the nature of that is to be looking for bad stuff. And you can find it. You will. I mean, you know, oh, look at this beautiful day. I'm looking out of my office right now, and it's a beautiful day. It's mainly white because of all the snow that's on the ground. But the sun is shining. People are walking with their dogs and all that. It's a beautiful day. But if I want to, I can find, oh, no, I hate snow.
Yeah.
I just changed that, and my attitude, my emotions, everything has changed. Now it's negative.
Plow the driveway.
I'm sorry?
I have to plow the driveway. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find something.
Yeah. So we can do that. It's always a choice. Or again, we can look at, you know, man, I have my good knee is not so good anymore. And today it's hurting.
Yeah.
I can focus on that and think about how much it hurts and how bad it is, and how now that I'm older, it's going to get worse and all that. It's amazing what I can come up with, and it's all crap, really. Or I can just say, you know, yeah, it hurts a little bit. Let me think about something else. But the other one doesn't. So that, you know, I've got two of them, and that's a good thing. You know, it's like people, I give people a hard time on social media who could are complain, oh, today's leg day. Well, at least you have legs. Because I have a lot of friends, not a lot of friends, I know a lot of a few people who don't have legs. Talk to them and let me know which one is harder. So, you know, and then again, the topic is resolving our conflicts. They start with us. Again, it's all attitudinal. If you have conflict within yourself, you're probably going to express that a lot more, and you're going to have a lot more with other people. And that doesn't mean to keep everything inside. Find counseling of some sort, or in your case, you have Jacob, so hopefully you can talk things out. Yeah, I don't feel good. No, man, I pull my back. Yeah, you can fix that by not doing certain things or getting massage, whatever, you know. Or again, you can just look for a fight, and I stay away from those people. Someone had just asked that on LinkedIn, I think. How do you deal with that? Well, if you can't avoid them, ignore them. That's my advice, because all it's going to do is make it worse for you. And if you want to have a sucky life, fine, go do what you got to do. But I don't want to live that way.
Well, I want to circle back so that you're no longer harboring resentment, even though I don't think that's something that you do. I wanted to ask you, you said that you don't like to bring up your grievances. You can fix the problems yourself. And I think that that's a very noble quality because I think a lot of times we want to seek external resolution for our conflicts and we're not good at just letting things go. I think my grandparents are better at that than my generation is. I think that the older generation may have, not spoken about certain things and just kind of let it brushed off much more than we can, because I think with social media and my generation nowadays, we think, oh, there's a solution for that. We can talk about it. We can fix it. We can make all parties happy, or make sure that the person who did you wrong knows it. And I don't know that that's always beneficial, but I just wanted to ask you, has that done you well all the time? Are there times when you think it is important to bring up conflict and fix it? Or if you think just love and kind of passivity is the better route?
I'm not sure that love is passivity.
It's not. No, I
You
know
know,
that is a quick word.
sometimes you gotta, I wrote about this today. Sometimes you have to express tough love. You know, the hardest thing, and you'll understand this in due time, the hardest thing is when your kids do what you don't want them to do or what they shouldn't do, and you know better, and they don't. They still want to do whatever they want to do. Now, I'm not sure when that starts, probably around 3 or 4 years of age, and it doesn't ever go away. But so you'll understand more when that happens. So you know, life is tough enough, I think, that we don't need to make it tougher on ourselves. You know, and a lot of times I'm working on a book about developing your personal identity, and I think a lot, and it starts with values. What's important to you? And I think a lot of times we either forget or neglect what's really important. You know, this morning I don't know why, but there were about 5 or 6 posts on some kind of social media saying, "Hey, you woke up and you're breathing. What a cool thing!" You know, and I thought, well, those people needed that, but, you know, that's why they shared it, because it affected them I hope, a positive way. Yeah, I mean, my first thought every morning is thank you, I'm here. You know, I get another opportunity now, and that's while I'm still lying in bed. I just open my eyes, and then I try to get up, which it used to be a quiet moment, and it's not anymore.
Oh,
There's grunt, yes, yeah, not
that's
grunting and wheezing and all kinds of different things,
crackerpot. Rice Krispies.
but that's inevitable. But those are my thing, you know. But those are my wheezing. Those are my snap, crackle, pop. That's like,
No.
what an opportunity, you know. The opposite or the alternative is that I wouldn't have that. So
Violence.
that's not a good alternative. So I truly am grateful for everything that I have daily, and even the challenges that I have. And again, that's a an attitudinal thing. the biggest challenge I have mostly in the morning is going up the stairs after I've taken the dogs out to go there, do their thing at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And going up the stairs is not easy because that's kind of initiating all of the muscles, right? You know,
Yeah.
they're different muscles. And I think every time that I do this every morning, I almost yell at the dog because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have to go up the stairs. So I do
That's
it for
funny.
him in a way. But I think this is good because it's exercising those muscles. They may
Yeah.
ache and they may hurt, but that's embracing the suck, right?
Yeah,
It
absolutely.
won't hurt so much later when they're more supple and I moved them around a little bit. So you can take what life as you want. You can make it suck or you can make it great. And I prefer to make it great regardless of what happens. Now, thank goodness, and I am grateful and I'm blessed. Not terrible things don't happen to me on a regular basis. So I'm good with that. But still, those little things, and I know some people, my mom, God bless her, she's 95, just turning 95, and complains a lot. But and she has something to complain about at her age and the things that are happening to her and the pains and all that stuff. But I try to remind her that, yeah, it's tough, but mom, but think about the alternative, and that's not necessarily a good thing. So,
Yeah, that's amazing. 95. That's amazing.
yeah,
Hope she's doing okay.
I hope that that means that I'll live up to the well. And I,
Yeah.
in my prayers, I always ask the Creator to give me a good life. But if it's going to be hurting, my mom has been in
Yeah.
a wheelchair for 47 years, and
Wow.
so she suffered a lot, and I'd rather be gone than suffering the way she has. But I don't know. I don't have that the power to alter that or to change it or to fix it. So I'll take it as it comes and do the best I can. So far, this is my desk is made out of wood, so I'm knocking on it. I'm doing well.
Yeah, the positives are, I mean, immense wisdom, and the fact that she has 95 years of life to share still, and that's just really cool. And so what I learned from you so far is that, I think immense grace, or as much grace as you can give, is necessary, and especially to avoid conflict in the first place. And I'm learning because I think we mentioned passivity for a second, but I used to be very passive in my wants and needs. And I think I'm learning that, sometimes when it's easy, you might bring up a need or a conflict, even if it's a fruitful and healthy conflict, and you might get exactly what you need, and the other person is happy to fill that need. And I think that's something that I'm learning right now. And so random, but Jacob and I started working out 2 times a day. We realized it was harder to work out for an hour every day, so we're doing 30, 45 minutes in the morning and then 45 minutes in the evening. And we started talking about, Jacob asked me, can we just decide how we should do each exercise together? We should decide on the form, because I was doing this, they call it a dead hang. I'm hanging from a bar just kind of to help my grip strength. We're going to do a what they call a Spartan run in October. It's a long, boot camp style obstacle course. And so he said, well, I did 30 seconds of this dead hang, and then I did another 30 seconds of the dead hang. And the last time I did it, I just did 10 seconds. And he thought, why didn't you do 30? You did 30 the other 2 times. And I said, well, I don't want my hands to rip. I don't want my calluses to rip. My hands felt really sore. And so he was like, I wish we could decide how we do exactly every single workout in the moment. I'm like, that sounds like a lot of discussion and potential conflict. And so we just decided, long story short, that if we decide in the moment, we do the exercise. If it doesn't look like we're doing it right, the other person can correct us, but we're not going to just go out of our way to create situations where, we can disagree. And I think that's another option. So have grace for each other, and then I think just avoiding conflict where you can, making things easy because life's already hard enough. That's what you said. That's good advice.
Well, and we're running out of time, but next week let's talk about, because and I know you're referring to the book, it refers to needs. Is that different than wants?
I think so. It's
And
really
that,
hard to differentiate, so that's a
it,
good
well,
conversation.
I'm not going to agree with you because I think it can be hard, but not necessarily if you do the right thing. And we'll talk about that next. There's a secret. There's
Sounds
a, I
good.
got the secret.
You're leaving on me cliffhanger again.
You're gonna wait till, or else.
Don't
I may not be
it.
around next week. If I'm not around next week, too bad.
26-year-olds, don't forget. Don't forget the secret. So don't forget it.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Have a great week. We'll talk to you next
you
week.
Too. Thanks. Bye. Thank you for listening. We hope that there was something that you heard in this episode that will help empower you to become a better leader.
A leader of character. If you'd like to connect with us, please email us at cloc@leadershipandforesight.org.
Until next time, be great. This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.